Next category is Sustainable Places and Communities, and the speaker is Peter Bourne. He's a visiting fellow at Green Templeton College from the University of Oxford. Please welcome Peter Bourne.
Our chairman laid out our job for us with the following question. How should places and communities be retooled to prepare them to function sustainably while considering health, economic, social, and environmental issues? We then had presentations and discussions on a number of topics. The new urbanism and its charter, urban sprawl and how to counter it, and creating a more livable environment to improve health, transportation and its implications for health and how particularly the automobile needed to be modified in its role in our society, water and sanitation, and particularly the fact that so many cities are running on almost empty as far as water supply is concerned. A special presentation about a self-sustaining non-profit organization in India, which over the last many years has provided sanitation for many thousands of people. Affordable homes with intelligent design and the impact that that has on mental and physical health. Urban agriculture, social inequity and health in Brazil, and heart disease and its prevention in Canada. We were beset with the same problems that the issues were complex and hard to quantify down into three concise statements. It was clear to all of us that inequalities happen in cities, in housing, transportation, food, access to facilities, and in many other ways, and this in turn affects people's health. We saw the problem as described by three intersecting circles that you could label social, economic, and environmental, and we felt that in any solution, all of these circles had to be overlapping and integrated together. It was also clear that all sectors needed to be working together, private, public, and civil society. Government must be involved at every level, and clearly the sine qua non for solving the problems of all of the cities is political will at the top. People must be seen as a resource and part of the solution to the problem. They must also be educated, because unless you have an informed populace, the political leaders are not going to move. Education must be changed. It must be a different kind of education to inform people, and it must be education for action. We discussed social inequity within developed countries, but we also looked at the social injustice in the world in general and the economic inequities between developing and developed countries. We concluded that in some respects the lessons that we were talking about and the solutions we were talking about could be applied equally well in the developing world as the developed world. But there were a number of quandaries. If we know the automobile is a serious problem that has to be dealt with in Canada or the United States, how do you deal with Thailand that already has traffic gridlock but is selling 1,000 new automobiles a day? Or how do you deal with India, that is where Tata is producing a new automobile that will sell for $2,000 and has a potential market of millions in India? We came up with three listed areas of focus, but I don't think it really does justice to our full conversation. I hope much more will come out tomorrow. We do believe that urban design must facilitate opportunities for more walking, exercise, and many bikeways. Affordable housing must be built with intelligent design. Urban agriculture should be encouraged and facilitated. Business should support government in trying to fulfill its responsibility to achieve livable cities. Private and public policies should lead to more healthy behavior. Addressing the water crisis should be a high priority for most cities. And then a few rather specific things. Banks should think about location when lending money based on the impact that those loans will have on urban issues. And car insurance charges might be based on the total annual distances driven rather than a flat rate as at present. And one issue that we felt has been discussed and deserves much more discussion is that cities should consider congestion charges, as it seems this congestion charge has been very successful in London. Thank you.